3. Saba Sebatine had been living among humans for well over a standard decade, and still there was so much she did not know about them. She didn't understand why Master Skywalker seemed so lost right now, why he had stopped talking to his friends and turned all his attention inward. Surely he knew Mara wouldn't want that, that she would expect him to stay focused and guide the Jedi through this time of crisis. But he just stood staring at the funeral pyre, as though he couldn't quite believe it was his mate up there, as though he expected her to awaken at any moment and climb down to stand beside him. Perhaps he was only trying to understand why Mara had failed to return her body to the Force, wondering, like so many other masters, whether it still held some clue to the killer's identity that had been missed during the autopsy, or he could be worried that something in Mara's past had interfered, that she had done something as the Emperor's hand so terrible that the Force could not take her back. Saba only knew that she did not know, that Master Skywalker had been wounded in some way she could never understand, and had lost himself, and she feared that if he did not return to himself soon, something terrible would happen. She could feel that much in the Force. Saba felt the weight of someone's attention and turned to find Corrin Horn's green eyes fixed on her back. He was standing about 3 meters away, discussing something with Kip and Kent Hamner, while Silgal, Kyle Katarn, and the rest of the Masters remained with Master Skywalker and Ben. When he noticed Saba looking, he gave a little head jerk, summoning her over. Saba nodded, but glanced back to make certain the dignitaries filling the courtyard weren't growing too impatient with the delay. Tenel Ka was in the front row, kneeling in meditation alongside Tisar, Lobaka, Tahiri, and most of the other Jedi Knights, except Jaina and Zek, who had been ordered to continue their pursuit of Alima Rar. In chairs behind the Jedi Knights, Admiral Neothel and her entire high command sat bolt upright, too disciplined to fidget, no matter how late the ceremony was running. Behind them sat most of the Senate and the secretaries of every major department, putting their time to good use by chatting with one another in solemn whispers. The only person of note whom Saba did not see was the man who should have been in the vacant chair to Admiral Neothel's right, the co-leader of the coup government, Jacen Solo. Satisfied that the distinguished audience members were not on the verge of departing, Saba excused herself to Ben and a barely cognizant Master Skywalker, then joined Corrin and the others. Kip Duron still wore his dark brown hair long and shaggy, but at least he was cleanly shaven for the occasion. Kent Hamner, who looked old enough to be Kip's father, appeared as carefully groomed and dignified as ever.
"What?" Saba demanded. "Can you not see how all this waiting is affecting Master Skywalker? When are we going to start?"
Corrin and Kip shot each other a nervous glance. Then Kent said, "We'll start as soon as you are ready, Master Sebatine." Saba flicked her tongue between her lips, trying to figure out why they would be waiting on her.
"This one?"
"That's right," Corrin said. He cast a glance over her shoulder toward Ben and Master Skywalker, then lowered his voice to a barely audible whisper. "You felt that disturbance on the upper access level a few moments ago?"
"Yes,"
Saba replied.
"What was it? A news crew trying to sneak hollows of the funeral?"
"Not exactly," Kip said, also speaking softly. "It was a GAG squad." Saba's jaw fell.
"A GAG squad? Inside the temple?"
"I'm afraid so," Kenth replied. They tried to arrest the Solos. Saba thumped her tail against the slat stones, pondering, then finally shook her head in bewilderment.
Only a squad? That is not enough.
Not even close, Kip agreed. But we'll talk about that later. The pursuit has already moved outside the temple, and we have other things to worry about right now. Saba nodded.
Of course. This one will inform Master Skywalker.
As she started to turn away, Corin reached for her arm, then seemed to remember what could happen when one grabbed a Barabel and quickly drew his hand back. Saba sissed in relief. She would have been embarrassed to find herself biting his wrist in front of so many dignitaries, and cocked her brow. "Do you think it's wise to involve Master Skywalker?" Corin asked. "He has enough on his mind right now."
"This one thinks he does not have enough on his mind," Saba replied. "Mara would not want him turned inward like this."
"No, but she would understand," Kenth said. "Humans need to grieve, Saba. We need to let him have this funeral." "It's the only way he'll get better," Corin added. Saba riffled her scales and looked away. There was that word again, grieve. She did not understand what good it was, why humans found it so necessary to swim in sorrow when their loved ones died. Was it not enough to hold them in one's heart, to honor their memories in how one lived one's own days? It was as though humans could not trust their minds to keep lost ones alive, as though they believed that a person was gone just because her life had come to an end. Saba returned her gaze to Corin and the others.
"We cannot let the intrusion go unpunished," she said. "Jason is already swinging us like a tail."
"We won't," Kip assured her. "We'll do something right after the funeral." Saba nodded.
"Good. But somehow this one does not think you told her about the intrusion just to ask her not to tell Master Skywalker."
Corin shook his head. "Not really," he said. "You see, Princess Leia was supposed to give the eulogy."
"Ah, now this one understands why Jason didn't come."
"Jason didn't know," Kenth said. "But that's not really the problem."
"Of course not."
Saba had seen enough human funerals to know there was always a speech, that it was an important part of drawing out the tears that the service was to unleash. She glanced at the crowd of dignitaries, then back to Master Skywalker and Ben.
"Now how are we to give Master Skywalker his grieving?"
Corin and Kenth exchanged glances. Then Kenth said, "We were hoping you would speak."
"This one?"
Saba began to sis, then recalled that humans did not like humor at their funerals, and bit her tongue.
"You are serious?"
Kenth nodded. "You were Mara's friend," he said. "If anyone understands what she meant to Luke and the rest of us, it's you."
"But this one is not even human," Saba said. "She doesn't understand grieving."
"That's okay," Kip said. He locked gazes with her in a silent challenge. "We'll understand if you're afraid. I can always fill in instead."
"This one is not afraid."
Saba knew he was manipulating her, but she also knew he was right. Refusing would not be worthy of Mara's memory.
"She just doesn't know what to say,"
Kip nodded sympathetically. So does that mean you want me to do it?
No.
The last thing Mara would have wanted was Kip speaking at her funeral. While he had been fairly supportive of Master Skywalker's leadership of late, there had been a time when that was not so, and Mara had been a woman with a long memory.
This one will do it.
She turned to Kenth.
What does she say?
Just speak from your heart. Kenth gave her a gentle force nudge toward the speaker's lectern. You'll do fine. Saba swallowed hard, then returned to Master Skywalker's side and spoke into his ear.
Leia and Han were delayed, she said. This one will start.
Luke's gaze rose to the top of the pyre and locked on Mara's face, and he said nothing. The shadows beneath his hood were almost deep enough to hide the red bags beneath his eyes, but even drawn in on himself, his force aura beamed anguish. Ben leaned out from behind Luke and nodded. That's good, he said. Mom would like that. A stream of warmth flooded Saba's heart, and her anxiety about speaking in front of so many dignitaries vanished. She turned toward the audience and straightened her robes, then stepped up to the lectern. A silver hover mic rose to float before her throat, but she deactivated it with a flick of her talon and returned it to its charging socket. When she spoke about Mara, she would not need a voice projector to make herself heard. The courtyard quickly fell silent. Saba took a moment to make eye contact with Tenel Ka, Admiral Neothel, and many of the other dignitaries in the audience. Then, using the Force to carry her voice to the farthest edges of the courtyard, she began.
We have come to this sacred place to say farewell to our dear friend, to a fierce warrior and a noble dispenser of justice. Mara Jade Skywalker was one of the brightest stars of the Jedi Order, and we will miss her.
Saba shifted her gaze to the Jedi Knights kneeling in the front row of the audience.
Her light has been taken from the galaxy, but it has not been extinguished. It lives on in us, in the times we shared the hunt, in the lessons she taught us as a master.
She turned and spoke directly to Master Skywalker and Ben.
It lives in the love and counsel she gave as a mate, in the sacrifices she made as a mother. As long as our hearts beat, her light lives inside us.
Master Skywalker finally tore his gaze from the pyre. Though his expression was not exactly peaceful, there was at least a hint of gratitude in his eyes, and she could tell that her words were reaching him. It was harder to tell whether she was being any comfort to Ben. His attention was fixed on the slat stones beneath his feet, his brow furrowed in concentration, his force aura swirling with pain and confusion and a rage that Mara would have found very frightening. As Saba contemplated what she might say to quell that rage, a low murmur arose from the audience, starting from the back of the courtyard and rippling slowly forward, growing louder and more animated as it drew closer. Saba turned back to the listeners, wondering if her words could be generating that much excitement, and found the entire audience craning their necks to look back toward the entrance. Striding up the central aisle was a black-clad figure in knee-high boots with a long shimmer-silk cloak rippling from his broad shoulders. His face was somber, and his eyes sunken in shadow, his bearing brusque. Once it grew reasonably apparent that every eye in the audience was on him, he raised a black-gloved hand in a gesture that was half apology and half greeting.
"Excuse my tardiness," Jason Solo said. "I was detained by urgent matters of state. I'm sure everyone understands."
A general drone of agreement rose from the audience, though Jason could feel Saba's ire through the force. He pretended not to notice her indignation and continued down the aisle, taking care to keep his presence hidden from the force so no one would sense how nervous he felt. The Masters still had no idea he was Mara's killer, but he was all too aware how easily the slightest slip on his part could change that. Still, there was no question of missing the funeral. His absence would have drawn too many comments and started too many people thinking, and it would have been a clear signal to Tenel Ka that he had no intention of reconciling with Luke. So Jason had to be here, and he had to make it look like he wanted peace with the man whose wife he had killed just a week earlier. When Jason reached the front of the crowd, he ignored the seat that had been reserved for him beside Admiral Neathel. He continued instead to where the Jedi Knights were kneeling, then bowed to Tenel Ka.
"Thank you for coming, Queen Mother," he said, trying to make it appear that they had not yet seen each other since her arrival on Coruscant. "In these times, I know your journey couldn't have been an easy one."
"Master Skywalker was an extraordinary Jedi, and an uncommon friend."
Tenel Ka's gray eyes betrayed nothing as she spoke.
"We would have endured worse to be here."
"I'm sure your presence is a great comfort to Ben and—"
Jason paused, then finished,
"Master Skywalker."
Tenel Ka dipped her head in an almost imperceptible nod.
"We can only hope so."
Jason excused himself with a polite click of his boot heels, then continued forward to stand at Luke's side. The force boiled with the outrage of the Masters, but Jason pretended not to notice. Mara's funeral was the perfect opportunity to raise the public's perception of his standing among the Jedi, to plant the idea in the minds of hundreds of dignitaries that he was his uncle's equal, and he could not afford to pass that by. As for his promise to Tenel Ka, well, as long as he made it look like he was trying to reconcile with Luke, he would still have her fleet. When Luke remained oblivious to Jason's presence, Kenth Hamner stepped forward and spoke in a voice of fatherly reproach.
"Jason, you know you're not a master."
Kenth gestured toward the Jedi Knights kneeling in the front row.
"Your place is with the other Jedi Knights, should you care to assume it, Jedi Solo." "I think that's where we misunderstand each other, Master Hamner."
Jason pulled his dark cloak aside, revealing the empty lightsaber snap on his utility belt.
"I'm not here as a Jedi."
"You're still standing in the wrong place,"
Kyle Katarn said, joining them.
"This is a Jedi funeral."
"A funeral I'm attending as family."
Jason spoke in a deliberately reasonable voice, trying to create the impression that it was the Masters who were causing the disturbance.
"I'm only here to comfort my cousin and uncle."
"To comfort them?"
Kip Duran came forward.
"You expect us to believe that?"
"It is the truth,"
Jason said gently. Kip ignored the objection and took Jason by the arm. Then Luke surprised them both by raising a hand.
"Wait."
Beneath the grief, there was an odd note of urgency to Luke's voice. Jason is welcome to stand with Ben and me. Kip's jaw dropped.
But Master Skywalker, Jason is just using the funeral to...
It's fine. Luke gestured for Kip and Kenth and Kyle to resume their places.
I want Jason here.
Kip scowled, but joined Kenth and Kyle in obeying. Jason watched them retreat, feeling as confused as they looked, until Luke turned and extended his hand.
Thank you for coming, Jason.
Mara was a great Jedi, and a loving aunt.
As Jason clasped arms, he took extra care to hide his feelings from the Force. It was hard to imagine his uncle having the strength to probe for guilty emotions right now, but the galaxy was littered with the body parts of those who had underestimated the strength of Luke Skywalker.
I would never have missed the chance to show my respect for her.
I'm glad. It's time we healed this rift between us.
Luke returned his gaze to Mara's body.
I think that must be what she's trying to tell us.
Tell us? Jason echoed.
He looked to the top of the pyre and decided Luke must be losing touch with reality. Mara lay as dead as before, neither her lips nor anything else moving. There was no sound coming from anywhere near the vicinity of the body. Then he noticed that Mara's white swaddled form was starting to grow translucent and glow with Force energy. Saba sissed in astonishment, and several other masters sighed in relief, but Jason nearly choked on his shock. If Mara was trying to tell anyone anything, it had nothing to do with reconciliation, and everything to do with exposing her killer. Luke clasped Jason's shoulder.
She waited until we were together, he said. I think there's a message in that.
Don't you?
Yes. Of course.
To Jason's amazement, there was no hint of deception or cynicism in his uncle's voice or presence. Luke had clearly drawn the wrong conclusion about what Mara was trying to tell him, perhaps because she had died while keeping her activities secret from him, and Jason was more than ready to embrace his good fortune.
I think that must be exactly what Mara is telling us. We can't save the Alliance without working together.
Good point, Luke said. I'll try to remember that this time.
And so will I.
Jason sneaked a glance in Tenel Ka's direction and was rewarded with a tiny nod, barely perceptible but distinctly approving.
I promise.
Luke dipped his head in agreement, or perhaps even gratitude, and Jason found himself struggling to keep his relief, his exhilaration, from spilling into the Force. He was going to have his fleet, and with it would come the strength to lure the Confederation into a trap and smash it, to unite the galaxy in justice and peace. As Jason fought to control his emotions, Luke turned toward the lectern where Saba Sebatine stood watching them, studying Jason, but looking somewhere beyond him. Or perhaps it was deeper into him, as though she were seeing not Jason's public face, but his inner one, that of Darth Kitus. Saba? Luke called softly. There was a new vitality to his voice, a note of renewed confidence that Jason might have found alarming, but which Kitus knew would last only as long as their reconciliation.
Saba?
Saba's gaze finally swung back to Luke.
Yes?
Luke gestured at the audience. Maybe you should continue. He glanced at Mara's luminous body, which had already grown so transparent that the back wall of the courtyard could be seen through it. I'd like to finish before Mara is completely gone.
Yes, please forgive this one, she said. She was distracted.
Saba turned toward the courtyard again, but did not return immediately to her speech. Instead, she studied the audience for a moment, ruffling her scales, then glancing from them to Luke, to Jason, and finally back to the courtyard. Jason could feel her struggling with a decision, fighting to swallow her outrage at how he was taking advantage of Luke's grief, and he realized she was about to make this a very unpleasant funeral for him.
Surely,
Saba began.
This one speaks for everyone here when she says how glad she is Colonel Solo could spare a few minutes to honor his noble aunt.
The opening was enough of a shock to tear most eyes in the audience from Mara's rapidly vanishing form. A chorus of confused murmurs and indignant gasps arose from the audience, but Jason maintained an expressionless face and continued to gaze politely at the lectern. Whatever Saba said, it was not going to make Tenel Ka change her mind. Jason even found himself wondering whether it might be possible to keep his promise to Tenel Ka, to truly reconcile with Luke and work together to save the Alliance. But of course that was impossible. Sooner or later someone would discover the identity of Mara's killer, and the Jedi had to be either firmly under Kaidus's control by then, or eliminated. After a moment, Saba continued.
And it is good that Colonel Solo arrives at this point in our remembrances, because the greatest gift Mara Jade Skywalker left us is the lesson of her life. A life that began under the darkest of shadows.
She half turned to face Jason, Luke, and Ben.
As a young child, Mara was taken from her parents and shaped into pure spy and assassin. And her keeper set her to doing terrible things when she was barely old enough for the hunt. She did them because she believed they were right, because she believed in the dream of a single galaxy with one justice, a galaxy bound in peace by a single fist. That fist belonged to Emperor Palpatine, and his dream was one filled with darkness.
Now Saba locked gazes with Jason, her face scales ruffling in rebuke.
It meant the deaths of billions and the enslavement of trillions, the end of freedom and the silencing of dissent. It brought fear to those it claimed to protect, and misery to those it pretended to serve. As Mara's missions carried her farther afield, she began to see the evil in her master's dream. For a time she tried to carry on, telling herself that evil was necessary to bring peace, that some must suffer before all could live in harmony.
When Jason still had not looked away, Saba finally broke gazes and turned back to the audience.
We all know how that ended.
A chorus of soft chuckles rolled through the courtyard, and Jason could feel in the Force that the audience's mood was shifting, that even some of his supporters were growing more thoughtful. He allowed himself to glare at the Barabel darkly. Nothing threatening, but with enough indignation to express the proper outrage at such a comparison. Saba ignored him, of course.
After the Emperor died, there were those who would not relinquish his dark dream, who attempted to keep the Empire alive and even restore Palpatine's clones to power. Mara was not one of them. After the Emperor's death, she wandered the galaxy for many years, searching for a new life, and she began to see more clearly what she had been, the evil she had done. Then fate placed her life in the hands of a man she had once considered an enemy, a man whom she still felt compelled to kill. And during their difficult journey together, she began to understand that there was another way, a way filled with freedom and love and trust. Mara once told this one that all it took to lift the Emperor's veil from her eyes was a long walk in the forest with this man.
Saba extended her arm toward Luke.
That after she had come to know Luke Skywalker, it was easy to step into the light.
Tears welled in the eyes of both Luke and Ben. Ben, at least, had the pride to turn away and wipe his face, but Luke merely let his tears flow, his gaze never straying from the top of the pyre, as Mara's body paled from a radiant ghost to a shimmering blur of light. When it had finally vanished altogether, Luke closed his eyes and let out a soft breath, then laid an arm over Ben's shoulder. "She's with the Force now, son," he whispered. "She'll be with us always."
"Yeah, Dad."
Ben's voice did not even come close to cracking, and Jason was proud of him for that.
"I know."
Jason reached over to give Luke's shoulder a comforting squeeze, then felt the weight of Saba's gaze and looked up to find her glaring at him, her eyes filled with anger and sorrow and warning.
"And that is the lesson of Mara's life,"
the Barabel said.
"If we wish to live in goodness, all we need do is open our hearts. If we wish to bring justice and peace to the galaxy, all we need do is step into the light."
Jason lowered his hand and returned Saba's glare with a tight smile. The embarrassment she had caused him here did not matter. He had won Tenel Ka's fleet, and now he would have the strength to lay a trap and crush the Confederation. And once he had done that, the public would not care what Saba or any master thought of him. They would realize that it was Kydus, not the Jedi, who was the true guardian of the Alliance. Saba slipped out from behind the podium and, making a point of ignoring Jason, bowed to Luke and Ben, then stepped to the foot of the empty pyre. Instead of setting the wood ablaze, as she would have done had there still been a body, she simply faced the other masters, and together they began the traditional recitation of the Jedi Code. "There is no emotion. There is peace. There is no ignorance. There is knowledge. There is no passion. There is serenity. There is no death. There is the Force. As soon as they had finished the recitation, Jason left Luke's side and went straight for Saba.
A touching eulogy, Master Sebatine.
He kept his voice angry, but not quite menacing.
Very instructive. I'll remember it for a very long time.
Good,
Saba replied evenly.
This one only hopes you come to understand it as well.
A series of gasps and titters betrayed the eavesdroppers in the front rows of the audience, and Jason realized he was in danger of looking weak. He dropped all pretense of civility and glared at Saba in open hostility.
Your humor has always been a mystery to me, Master Sebatine,
he said.
It's a wonder I haven't taken offense before this. And I hope you'll forgive us now.
Luke stepped to Jason's side, then said, None of us are quite ourselves today. Please don't let that stop you from joining Ben and me after the ceremony. I meant what I said about healing the rift between us.
That would be best for everyone, Jason said.
His gaze slid toward Ben and lingered there.
We must think of the future.
Ben only shrugged and looked away. The hostility was painful, though hardly surprising. Jason had known when he killed Mara that he was sacrificing his cousin's devotion. But that should not have occurred until after Ben learned the identity of her killer. So either the boy was taking his mother's death harder than Jason realized, or he suspected the truth and was telling no one. Kytus wondered whether it would prove necessary to kill Ben to protect the secret of Mara's death a few days longer. Jason hoped not. He still saw potential in his young cousin, and a part of him believed it might be possible to make a proper apprentice of him yet. Deciding that it was best to let Ben mourn in private, for now, Jason assumed a grave air and turned back to Luke.
I'm afraid I can't join you today, Master Skywalker, he said. I'm due topside earliest.
Luke's brow fell in confusion.
Maneuvers? No. I'm accompanying the Fourth Fleet into action.
Jason cast an accusatory glance toward Kenth, Kyle, and the other masters.
I'm surprised the Council didn't tell you. I requested Jedi stealth X's.
Luke frowned at Saba, who could only nod and say,
We didn't think you should be disturbed.
The irritation in Luke's eyes changed to comprehension. His face clouded with something that might have been shame. Then he frowned at Saba and the other masters.
You can fill me in later.
It was Kenth Hamner who answered.
We'll be happy to.
He glanced in Jason's direction and added,
There are a lot of things you need to know.
Luke narrowed his eyes, but turned to Jason.
I understand. Duty calls. But I hope you'll think about what happened here today.
I will be thinking about it, Jason said. You can be sure of that.
Good. May the Force be with you.
And with you.
Jason turned and strode down the aisle, driving his boot heels into the sturdy moss and using the Force to gently move people aside. Luke watched him go in equal parts hope and dread. If anything remained of the gentle-hearted boy he remembered from the Jedi Academy on Yavin 4, he could no longer find it. Jason was swaddled in a darkness deeper than any he had felt in recent memory,
perhaps since the days of Darth Vader and the Emperor, and it was not at all clear that he could be drawn back into the light. Yet Luke had to try. If not for Jason, then for Leia and even the Alliance. But most of all, for himself. After the mistake he had made with Lumia, after his erroneous vengeance killing of her, he could not bear the thought of making such an error with his own nephew. If there was still a way to reach Jason, he had to try. Kenth Hamner stepped to the lectern and thanked everyone for helping the Jedi celebrate the life of Mara Jade Skywalker. He reminded them to keep her example in mind during the difficult days to come, and invited them to the Remembrance Feast being laid out in the Hall of Peace. As the crowd rose to leave, Luke turned toward the courtyard's rear exit, motioning for Ben, Saba, and the rest of the Masters to follow. The last thing he wanted to do right now was focus on the Order. With only an aching void where there used to be Mara, Luke felt the victim of a heart amputation, everything inside burning in grief, his thoughts whirling with memories of Mara's death, that sudden awful pulling on their force bond, as though she were falling into a star, then trying to reach out and draw her to safety, but the bond just snapping and leaving him broken and lost and hurting. But with Jason making his first tentative attempts to assert control over the Jedi, the Order needed Luke now more than ever. And as Mara had returned her body to the Force, he had realized that she expected him to be strong, to pull himself together and prevent Jason from using her death to destroy anything else. Once the group was inside the fern-filled lobby that had served as the funeral staging area, Luke turned to Saba. "Was that really necessary?" he demanded. "We're not going to bring Jason back into the fold by antagonizing him in public."
"We are not going to bring Jason back at all," Saba said. "Jason is beyond saving."
"That's not your call," Luke said. "Mara held on to her body for a reason. She was trying to tell us that if we want to save the Alliance, we have to work with him, not against him."
"I don't think so," Kip said, shaking his head. "Saba's right. Jason was just using Mara's funeral to make himself look more important to the Order."
"Don't you think I know that?" Luke asked. "It still gives us an opening, and it will be better for the Alliance, for the Jedi, and for the galaxy if we guide Jason rather than fight him."
"No, Dad, it won't," Ben said. "In fact, I don't think Mom meant the message for you at all. If there even was a message."
"Of course there was a message," Luke said, growing confused. "Why else would your mother wait until Jason arrived to return her body to the Force?" Ben shrugged and avoided Luke's eyes.
"I don't know. But I don't think she was telling us to trust Jason."
Luke scowled. "Ben, what aren't you telling me?" Ben shook his head.
"Nothing."
If Ben was lying, Luke couldn't feel it in the Force. He considered trying to wait the boy out, but anyone who had witnessed as many GAG interrogations as Ben had would hardly fall for such rudimentary tactics. Instead, he gave up and turned to Corin Horn.
"Is anyone going to tell me what's going on?"
Corin glanced at Kip, who turned to Kyle, who pursed his lips and looked away, apparently as he debated whether Luke was strong enough to hear the truth. Luke turned to Kenth.
"You said you had a lot to tell me," he reminded. "Start telling."
"We didn't want to upset you during the funeral," Kenth replied. but a unit of GAG troopers tried to arrest Han and Leia. That's why they didn't make the funeral.
They let GAG catch sight of them? Luke was incredulous. The Solos?
It happened inside the temple, Kent explained, less than an hour ago. This time Luke was stunned.
A GAG squad? In here?
On level 6, Kip said. The Solos were coming in from the Ministry of Justice mezzanine.
Why didn't anyone tell me about this?
Even as Luke demanded this, he could see by the troubled expressions on the faces of the Masters that they had doubts about whether they should have told him now. And he had only himself to blame. Given the way he had drawn in on himself, what were they to think? Awash in doubt about himself, about the Force, even about the Order itself, he had shut himself off from everyone except Ben. And he had been playing straight into his nephew's hands, practically inviting Jason to step in and take control of the Order. When no one answered his question, Luke said, "Forget I asked. Where are they now?" All eyes turned to Corin, who was monitoring the temple security channels over an earcom.
"We don't know," he said. "They escaped into Fellowship Plaza, and Leia's been force-flashing the security cams."
"Not the Solos," Luke said. "I mean the GAG squad." Corin frowned.
"They're gone, chasing Han and Leia."
"Can we be sure?" Luke asked.
"If we don't know where Han and Leia are,
how do we know the GAG unit is still chasing them?"
Saba finished.
"You think the arrest attempt was a diversion?"
"I think it's a possibility," Luke said. "The way I've been hiding from responsibilities..."
"You haven't been hiding from anything," Kent said. "Your grief is more than understandable."
"Thanks," Luke said. "But the fact is, I've left us vulnerable. With everyone focused on finding Mara's killer and worrying about me, there'll never be a better time to cripple the Jedi."
"Then we'd better find that unit fast," Kip said. He turned toward a turbo lift on the far side of the lobby. "If we don't hurry, there'll be a whole battalion..."
"It's okay," Corin said, catching Kip by the arm. "Temple security spotted them. They're outside, escorting Jason across Fellowship Plaza."
Saba gnashed her fangs in confusion, or perhaps it was disappointment.
"Jason changed his mind about seizing the temple?"
Corin shrugged.
"Who knows? We have reports of a lot of heavy hover sleds moving away from the temple. But that doesn't mean they were carrying GAG troopers."
A sudden silence fell over the gathering, and the Masters stood looking at one another in a fragile blend of relief and trepidation. Luke could sense how worried they all were, that they had just come very close to letting Jason take control of the temple. Or worse. It was Ben who broke the silence.
"So what are we going to do about it? We can't let him get away with trying to arrest us."
Luke looked down in surprise.
"We, Ben? I thought you wanted Jason to be your master."
Ben's cheeks reddened with embarrassment.
"I might have made a mistake," he said. "I'm entitled. I'm 14.
In another time, on another day, Luke might have laughed. Instead, he said,
"You don't have to be 14 to make mistakes. I've been making plenty."
"If you say so," Ben said, shrugging. "And that's not an answer to my question. You're not going to let him get away with this, are you?"
Luke thought for a moment, then said, "Actually, I think we will."
"What?"
The question came from three masters at once, and Saba added in all sincerity,
"This is a poor time for jokes, Master Skywalker. We have serious troubles."
Luke nodded. "That's true. And so is what I said to Jason about working together. Somebody's got to take the first step."
"Right into a trap," Ben muttered.
"Maybe. But Jason isn't the only one who knows how to set a trap," Luke said. He laid his hand on Ben's shoulder, and, feeling more confident than he had since before Mara's death, started toward the Remembrance Feast. "And it might be nice to surprise him for a change."